Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and I'm talking to the chairman of our Republican Party, former congressman of the 2nd Congressional District of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. Steve, how you doing this week?
Well, we're doing well. Just a lot of excitement across the country, a lot of drama across the country.
Yeah.
So let's get right into it. Welcome, everyone, to stay tuned for the second two segments. Today's show, we're going to be talking about the school board elections across the country. They've become very just lightning rod-like. The debt ceiling, we'll talk about that. Looks like citizens have filed a lawsuit against Dominion voting machines. That'd be interesting to talk about. Then, obviously, we still have the chaos at the border. The China power shortage is growing even greater. The world's moving towards a global minimum tax at the leadership of Joe Biden. So get set to be taxed so that you can support the workers in the rest of the world. And then the border wall contracts being canceled. We'll talk about the implications of that. So a very busy program for today. Let's just jump right into it, Derek.
You mentioned the school board elections. I'm seeing signs all over the place already now for school board elections, which seem to be separate from all the other elections. Tell us what's going on.
Well, first of all, you got to have a little bit of background that across the nation, but also in New Mexico, the Democrats in control and many states have moved the school board elections away from all the other elections. So you can really win with a very small number of votes. Back 10 or 15 years ago, you could get elected to a school board position with about 200 votes. And so just anybody could go out and do it. Well, the unions were using that election cycle that was so small a turnout to gain control of our schools. When the students were mandated to stay home and start distance learning last year, parents began to see what it was that the schools were teaching, and there is an absolute uproar across the country. First of all, people are just exercised about the mask mandates, about the vaccination requirements. Parents say that they have the choice, not the schools. And so that's one bone of contention. Next on the agenda that is troubling people are the gender neutral bathrooms that the unions are having to insist on to go along with the nationalist agenda of the Democrat Party. And then third, the teaching of the critical race theory. Again, people feel like the schools should not be politicized. They've always been a haven away from political activity. And suddenly parents are finding that their kids are on the front lines of being indoctrinated by the union teachers. And so they're very fired up. And the intense battleground has developed. Our school board elections are coming up in less than a month. And so I urge everyone to be aware of who's running in your district and get out and vote, because your kids are on the front lines of this battle between the unions and the Democrat ideology versus all of us Democrats, Republicans, and Independents on a local basis. Typically, we all pretty much agree on a school district about how our kids ought to be taught. But the school board elections across the country are drawing tremendous interest. It's just a forecast of next year, 2022. Is going to be a huge year nationally. And it looks like that Democrats have overplayed their hand in so many ways that the stakes are all riding on these school board elections, which will give us an indicator of how the elections are going next year. A lawsuit was just filed in Colorado, Jennifer Cooper et al., that's a group of Michigan residents, versus Dominion voting machines. And what they claim has nothing to do with the outcome of the election. It says that Dominion machines is conducting lawsuit warfare. In other words, it's trying to shut people up because they're using their corporate dollars to drain the bank accounts of individuals who dare to speak up. Dominion will take them into court to silence them, and at the risk of losing money to lawyers, even if they win the case, they're going to be bankrupt from the legal proceedings. And so people are having to be quiet. Well, this lawsuit is arguing that that should be held illegal by our court system. So that's a federal court decision that will be made in Colorado. It's going to be a very interesting outcome for us all. If you speak out against the thing that the Marxists, the Democrats want you to believe, then they're going to hold you accountable. You're going to be labeled as a terrorist. You're going to be sued in court. And so a huge case coming now, hopefully making its way all the way to the Supreme Court. And remember that Donald Trump had a lot to do with the current court and its makeup.
And if you don't believe us, folks, look up Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy. He's come out against the Dominion machines and what happened in the election, and they are suing him.
Yes. So again, this is just a very unsettling thing when corporations can try to break the constitutional freedom of speech that we all have in this country.
On the debt ceiling, we've got an extension. Johnson. What do you think is going to happen when that runs out?
Well, it looks like that Mitch McConnell, of course, the leader of the Republicans in the Senate, finally agreed with Chuck Schumer, and they agreed to a short-term debt limit extension. That just gives the Democrats a little bit more time through the end of December. But as soon as he did it, Chuck Schumer comes out on the floor and starts talking bad about the Republicans who had tried to create just this political issue over the debt ceiling. Well, the Democrats did that my full 14 years in Congress. They were totally against extending the debt ceiling when Republicans were in charge. And now then Chuck Schumer just conveniently forgets the past and his actions in the past. And he makes these comments on the floor about Mitch McConnell and the Republicans. So Mitch now penned a letter yesterday, sent it off to the president saying, we're not going to help you in the future. You're going to have to get it on your own. And of course, with a 50-50 split, the Democrats can't afford to lose one vote or they can't pass their debt ceiling. If they don't pass the debt ceiling increase, then the U.S. begins to default on its debts. It's an amazing time. It seems like that Chuck Schumer doesn't realize he's got to work with both sides. He's got to work with his Democrat colleagues, but he also has to work with the Republicans. That's what the process is designed to do. His untimely words, his unthoughtful words are going to create big troubles for him down the road.
I saw something about the Democrats could pass this on their own, increasing the debt limit, but they would have to use a procedure, a filibuster, and if they did that, they would have to set a specific amount, and so that's why they don't want to do that. Is that correct?
That is correct. The reconciliation process allows them to do that. They could extend the debt ceiling on their own with 50 votes, but they can't lose Chuck Manchin and they can't lose Kristen Sinema. She's from Arizona, a very conservative area. Manchin is from West Virginia. Both have to get elected in very conservative blocks of voters, and neither one interested in pushing their political future out the door by voting for this debt ceiling increase or this $3.5 trillion package or the $5 trillion package. And so the politics, local politics, again, weighing heavily in this battle for control of the country.
This keeps coming up, no matter which party holds the majority. Why do we even have a debt ceiling?
Well, if you didn't have a debt ceiling, then Congresses would continue to spend money until there's no future.
But they're doing it anyway. They just keep raising the ceiling.
I understand that, but they have to raise the ceiling and they have to go through this process. The Democrats have suggested for years that we don't need the debt ceiling. That way they can just run their appropriation bills as high as they want to. This $3.5 trillion is what's pushing the debt ceiling. And so in order to get that through, they have to raise the debt ceiling. It would be like if you have a credit card and your limit is $2,500 a month, or you got $2,500 outstanding, you can't buy anymore, then let's say that they just waived that completely. $25,000, $250,000. Now then you're talking real trouble. And it's the same thing on the debt ceiling. It's very wise that we have a debt ceiling. Both Republicans and Democrats would just constantly vote to give away free money. That's always the intent of Congress, to give away free money and make themselves look grand and make people hopefully vote for them in the next election. But we're selling our country's future down the road by doing this deficit spending, which we're doing right now.
Steve Pierce and I will be back with more in just a moment on Inside New Mexico.
Attention, New Mexico veterans. If you were honorably discharged from the U.S. Armed Forces, you've earned state and federal benefits, and the New Mexico Department of Veteran Services is standing by to assist you. State benefits include a veteran's property tax exemption, education and training, and transportation services. We can also assist with claims for federal VA benefits. The state of New Mexico and this radio station thank you for your service. More information at nmveterans.org or 1-866-433-8387.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico. I am talking with the chairman of our Republican Party, Steve Pierce. And Steve, I see where President Biden canceled the contracts for the companies that were building the wall on the southern border. What happens now that the president has canceled these contracts?
Well, first of all, the canceling of the contracts is a big indicator to people who are trying to get here illegally, and the floodgates are just opening. We thought 200,000 people in a month was large, and now that it's increased above that significantly, that's what Biden is mainly doing when he says he's going to cancel those contracts. But the contracts are laid after the Congress appropriates the money. Once the money is appropriated, it by law has to be spent the way that it was intended to be spent. So President Trump let those contracts out with money that was appropriated. It was in the bank to be paid out. And so for a time, the government was paying all those contractors together. He had them all up. It was $5 million a day that they were paying. They had to pay just as if they were putting the materials in. The shame is that there's hundreds of miles of fiber optic cables. There are hundreds and thousands of cameras that were being installed. These were all part of a very high-tech border that the Trump administration put into place. Now then, the former head of the Border Patrol, that's Rodney Scott, he's going on to Fox and taking great issue with Biden. Of course, the Border Patrol gets blamed with all the problems. They get saddled with the problems. They get blamed for the terrible outcomes, but the truth is that their hands are tied what they can do politically. Their hands are tied what they can do to process people. And now then the wall was going to be a big augmentation for them to do their job correctly. It was going to stop a lot of the flow, force it through the legal channels to come here. And now that all of that's being canceled, it tells people who are trying to get here illegally exactly where they can come through. The main contracts that have been canceled are the Laredo sector and then also the Rio Grande Valley sector. That tells people, okay, if you want to come across, that's going to be a good place because we're canceling those contracts. All of that metal's been paid for, all that fencing, and it's a heavy, thick iron wall fencing. Those posts, 20 and 30 foot high, buried 10 feet in the ground with concrete all around it, a very expensive proposition. All of that's been paid for, and now then is going to be sitting out there, either sold at auction for scrap metal prices or just allowed to rust in the desert. Many places folks will come up and be stealing it from across the border. It's chaos what's going on right now. That whole issue is being discussed by the Daily Wire over this weekend. I think that you'd be well advised to go and take a look and see exactly what's happening on the border as the U.S. continues to operate as the only country in the world with completely open borders. No country can survive doing that. We're not going to survive doing that. The pay is going to drop for people. The folks coming in here are either going to be on welfare benefits or they're going to be taking jobs. With so many workers, then the pay is going to decrease. It's absolute chaos that is turned loose on our border right now.
I understand a bunch of our governors have met down at the border. What was that for?
The 10 governors that showed up were there to protest the Biden administration results. The Biden administration is taking a lot of these illegal aliens and they're flying them across the country, turning them loose in neighborhoods across the country. They don't have a date to show up in court. Many times the records were not even made. A lot of these people are coming across with no identification, no birth certificate or passport. There's no way to find them once they get loose from the border. And then they get into the communities. They're not being tested for COVID before they're sent across the country. They're not being vaccinated for COVID. They're not being forced to wear masks like our kids in school are. And so folks are up in arms, as well they should be.
As we see the Green New Deal getting pushed through on us, it looks like China's ahead of us in that, and they're already seeing results, but they're not necessarily positive results.
Yes, we talked on last week's program about the green chickens are coming home to roost, mm-hmm. and that's even now accelerating in China. President Xi Jinping has been forced into committing that his country, China, will be carbon neutral by 2060, and he's doing his best to try to follow up. They've closed coal-fired power plants, and they're opening up more so-called renewable power. And the truth is, the renewable is not exactly that. It's not very dependable. And so China is going through a period of tremendous energy shortages. As they do that, they're having to close factories. They're having to shut down electricity to people during the week. Many places, they're looking at having to mandate that the coal mines actually mine more coal. And they're not looking at just a little more coal. The mandates that have come out from the federal government are actually in the 30% increase. That's a tremendous increase. You can increase production by 1, 2, 10%. 10% is still a huge increase. But to go up by a third, that is, if you're making 100 tons a day, you got to make 130 tons a day. That's going to be very difficult, and yet the government knows no other way. The free market does not exist in China, and so it's all pressure from the government. That never works out very well. You're going to start seeing more problems in their supply chain. But the real difficulty is worldwide. They are such an important contributor to the supply chains of all countries that now you're looking at shortages of just almost everything. A friend of mine runs a restaurant. He said he's been trying to buy silverware, just the kind of silverware they use in restaurants. Been trying to get that for 6 months. He cannot get any. He's ordered it, and they just don't have any coming in. Other supplies that we think might just run short, going to be a difficulty making beer, difficulty making soft drinks. So you start thinking about those grocery shelves being empty and nothing being available for the restaurants. Suddenly you have entire industries at stake. You're going to have economic turmoil like we've never experienced in the world. And it's all artificial. It's being driven by the extremists who are insisting that we convert 100% of our capacity over to renewable fuels. New Mexico is going to be on the front lines of that. The governor has signed the Green New Deal in New Mexico, which it mandates that they will be out of the oil business, I think, is by 2030. That's just around the corner. And by then, New Mexico is not going to be able to have energy for anything else. We're not going to be able to create industries to replace the 40% tax load that the oil and gas industry carries. And so you're just looking at a third world state at that point. No jobs, no hope, no future. The evacuation out of New Mexico is going to intensify the closer we get to the implementation of the Green New Deal.
These are the kind of things, though, I hate to say it, once we start getting blackouts here in New Mexico, that may be the time that a lot of people start changing the way they vote. It may have to get that bad before people realize what these progressives have been pushing on us isn't working.
Yes, it's not working and not going to work. I think it was Thomas Edison who declared that electric cars, that was the next biggest thing coming, and that was back in the early 1900s. It's still the next biggest thing coming, just has never gotten here.
It's been about a year now since we've had a vaccine for COVID-19. So you would expect that fewer people are dying from the virus, but maybe not. Steve Pierce and I will discuss that in just a moment on Inside New Mexico.
National Guard and Reserve members are true leaders, both in the military and in the workplace. They are highly skilled and get the job done every day. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, can help you recruit top-notch service members to your workforce. Hiring Guard and Reserve members is good for your business and good for your community. Visit esgr.mil/employers to learn more.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico. According to usfacts.org, 57% of the population of the United States has been fully vaccinated. So you would expect we'd see fewer people dying of COVID-19 than we saw in 2020 before we had the vaccine. Is that what's happening?
I saw on Rumble, one of the new social media sites, that the Biden COVID death rate is going to be higher than Trump's. So Trump was the president during the most vicious outbreak of COVID, when the projections were for millions to die. He was able to implement policies that got it in control and kept it from spreading. And now in the CDC on its website projects that Biden is going to have more deaths in his year in 2021 than Trump did in the year of 2020.
This comes from Johns Hopkins University. As of Wednesday, October 7th, U.S. localities have reported 353,000 deaths since January 1st. That surpasses the 352,000 deaths reported in 2020 in the 10 months following the first recorded domestic outbreaks of the disease in March. And the deaths in 2020 happened before we had a vaccine.
So all of this vaccination for your kids, getting the booster shots, it's amazing. But, you know, I haven't seen one physician urging that I get the flu shot. For the past 30 years, every time I went in to see a physician, they would urge to get the flu shot and you got to do it. What happened to those? I mean, you just think that there's got to be an answer, and the answer is not one that we would find very palpable. But it's amazing what the world has gone through over all of this COVID, and we still don't know the solution. It's just quite evident that the Chinese have turned it loose. That came from the Wuhan laboratories. The U.S. government does not want people saying that, but that's all of the facts and all of the indicators point that way.
To their credit, I have to say, a few weeks ago on 60 Minutes, they did a story on that, and they presented both sides. You know, it came from bats somewhere in China. But ultimately, they had to say that more than likely it did come from, as you said, a lab in Wuhan, China. For them to have to agree with President Trump must have been very painful for them.
It would be painful. You know, before we end, and I know we're running tight on time, Derek, but just one more bit of bad news coming out of the Biden administration. They have been pushing and twisting arms, and now then it looks like that they've got 136 countries signed on to raise the minimum tax to 15%. What has happened in the past is that companies very astutely would realize who gave the best tax rates, and they would move their production facilities there, because when you get a 10 or 15% less tax, that's a huge amount. So 136 countries now agreeing with Biden that they're going to raise that minimum tax. What that means is that that tax is going to mostly come from Americans, because we consume 23 to 25% of the world's goods. And so most of that tax is going to come from one country. Americans are going to be paying more in order to fuel and to pay taxes to other countries. That's essentially what's going on. And so Joe Biden, again, I'm sure using every power in his hands, threatening to not trade with countries, threatening to sue them through the WTO or whatever it is that he's holding over their head. But it looks like we're on the way to a global minimum tax. That's not a good point for the world. You can read more about that. Just this last week, it came out in the Western Journal. So be sure and take a look at that and keep yourself informed, because taxes are going to go up dramatically to pay for all this crazy spending that Biden has been doing.
And that doesn't even include the universal income that they're talking about.
Yes, that would be even on top of that. That's how they would fund the universal income. That would say that they're going to pay people in every country some equivalent to what we get in this country. It comes from the leftist belief that we in this country have too much. We've been blessed too much. And they feel like that we should lower our standard of living to what it is in the rest of the world. And one way to do that is to take our pay and send it to other countries. Now, keep in mind that $2 in some countries around the world buys a lot more than $2 here. So we would still be faced with inflation, and yet we'd be paying people in other countries. It would give them a very high standard of living compared to what we would be able to get after paying these increased taxes, after paying the tax of inflation that the Biden administration is giving to us. So all in all, very bad news coming out of the world this week regarding this new global minimum tax.
And that just goes against the American way, where we were taught, you and I growing up, if you work hard, you will prosper. And some people work harder than others and prosper more than others. Some people choose not to work as hard and don't prosper. Now they want to make it so everybody prospers, whether you work or not. So why should I go out and work hard if I'm going to pay for somebody else to prosper just as well as I do? Might as well sign on to the dole and get my free money.
Yes, and that's what a lot of people are doing. Just this last week, a report came out that tens of millions of workers just can't be found anymore. They used to be there. They used to be in the jobs. But like I was saying, my friend can't get silverware because the silverware manufacturer in China or some other country basically can't find the workers. He can't get the expensive cuts of chicken because those manufacturers of chicken don't have the workers to cut the chicken into the more expensive pieces. And so you're finding this already making our way down the economic ladder toward the lowest common denominator. We've always in this country valued choice. We wanted to choose whether we have a steak or chicken, and whether we have the premier cut of chicken or whether we have the cheaper cut. That's always been the American way, that we have choice. And yet those choices now are being removed from us because of the worker shortage, because of the supply chain shortages, because of the chip shortages. Everything is slowing the economy, not just in the U.S. down, but worldwide. The economy is slowing. And there is great, great pain lying down this pathway if we continue to track along it.
We mentioned earlier in the program that President Biden's poll numbers are falling. Some of that is because of the debacle in Afghanistan. Some of it is because of the high prices we're seeing from inflation. And some of it could be comments like these he's been making in speeches the last few weeks. Let's listen.
The vast majority of economists, left, right, and center, from Wall Street to the private economic polling initiatives. I want to thank the former general. I keep calling him general, but the guy who runs that outfit over there. I want to make sure we thank the secretary.
Representatives Shirley Jackson Lee, Al Green, Sylvia Garcia, Lizzie Pinelli. Pinnell, and what am I doing here?
A lot of us are wondering the same thing, Mr. President. If you've been listening to our program and you're not happy with the direction the country is going, it's time to take a stand. You can make a change. Get involved with the Republican Party of New Mexico. You can do that several ways. One is to check out the website at newmexico.gop. You'll get the latest news, upcoming events, information about their elected officials, voter resources, and all kinds of important and useful information about the party and its mission. The party also has a Facebook page and a Twitter account. The handle is at New Mexico GOP. If you would like to talk to somebody in person, call Republican Party headquarters in Albuquerque at 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662. For Steve Pierce, I'm Derek Underhill. We look forward to meeting with you again next week right here on Inside New Mexico.